What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Fan World, which will now be known as First and Sim. I'm your host, Lucid Dreams, and if you follow Fan World Media, you will have noticed a lot of things are changing around here recently. I've added a weekly stat show to the lineup, I've changed the name of the Sim Pod, and I've just announced my expansion into the SHL. Some things will never change, though. I have a passion for this league, and I'm striving to help create the best podcast environment that I can. Painted and I will continue to delay putting out the next episode of Lion and the Loon, and the weekly podcast will be back on schedule. I just want to thank everyone who's been riding with us through this journey, and I'm looking forward to showing you guys what's next. So joining me today, DSFL rookie, and my London Royals teammate, Xavier Hawkins. Hope you guys enjoy. All right, I'm being joined here today by Xavier Hawkins. What's going on, man?
What's good, guys? It's your boy, Xavier Hawkins here, best cornerback in the DCFL. I'm doing good, man.
So how did you discover simulation leagues, man?
Well, I'm sure I think everyone can vouch for me for this, that everyone has seen SFL. We all know this is the league that probably created a lot of inspiration for these many simulation leagues, like ISFL. There's also another one that is called ESBL, which is Elite Sim Basketball League. I'm also in LOF, which is League of Football, and et cetera, et cetera. All the hundreds and hundreds of simulations come from one, and that's Simulation Football League, which I'm currently in, actually. My love for simulations came from, I guess you could say, a pandemic, well, that we were in. So yeah, that's how I fell in love with it. And plus, I like football, so it's nice to have something.
So was this something you found last year when COVID started shutting everything down?
Actually, no. This was way before that. This is, I want to say, two years in the making when I first heard about it on YouTube. I was like, God, I can't wait to get in. I just need that moment. Because obviously, if you know how SFL works, you make a payment on your player, and depending on what type of service you get, you would just have your player. So I was just waiting for the right time to do it, and then I did it. So yeah.
Yeah, I have no experience with the SFL. The ISFL was actually my very first sim league, so.
All right.
What you're talking about with the creation there is a little new to me. I've heard some people come from different leagues, but hadn't really heard much about it.
Oh, wow. I'm kind of shocked by that because SFL is literally probably the simulation league. I don't want to, like, discredit ISFL. I don't want to do all that, but let's be honest here, Lucid. SFL, if you haven't heard of it, just look up YouTubes of them. They're the only simulation league that is on YouTube that gets praised, basically. It is the simulation league. I can guarantee you in those comments, they will agree with me.
I'll have to check it out and take a look for myself.
Yes, I promise you. I can guarantee you, if you look at the profiles on every Discord member in ISFL, one of them is going to show SFL, one of them at least.
So what made you decide to pick a cornerback for this player?
The reason it was between quarterback, wide receiver, safety, and corner. It was between those four positions. And the way I broke it down is, what do teams need more of that you can never run out? First off, the quarterback. It's the most popular. It's probably the most popular position. Next to wide receiver, it's next to running back, anything that's offensive. And the way I looked at it is that I'm going to be stuck in the shuffle. I don't want that to happen. Even if I did try very hard, I'm still going to get stuck in that shuffle. So quarterback is out of the picture. Wide receiver was another one that was very close of me picking. But I decided to change that because same issue. There's so many wide receivers that you're just going to get stuck in the shuffle. So I decided to go defense. And I picked corner. I almost picked safety because That's actually how I play in Madden. That's how I play in Roblox. So yeah, fun fact about me. I actually play fucking Roblox football. So yeah, actually, if you want to know what my Roblox account looks like, it's Xavier Hawkins V3. There you go, people. Now you know. Anyways.
Shameless plug.
No, it's not even a plug. It's literally a fun fact. Anyways. So I picked corner because I really like the position. Probably it's probably the coolest position because I actually prefer getting an interception, taking a pick six, or just getting a stop. And it's more fun than just, I guess, catching a touchdown. I always like picks over touchdowns. And I just think defense wins championships. So that's why I picked corner.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you just said there. You know, I'm as a defensive end, my player doesn't get many interceptions, but
you're a defensive end, man. You're not covering the tight end.
Sacking the quarterback and getting the forced fumbles is my version of getting those interceptions, and there's nothing better than getting a big sack or creating some havoc in the backfield on game day. So
yeah, but don't you think it's a bit sus sacking the quarterback?
If I can get that football and create a turnover when we need to be, that's happened multiple times. So
yeah, I mean, yes, I'll take
those sus jabs, I guess. So how have you found this league to be so far? I know you said you had some experience around in different leagues. Have you found this one?
Oh, I found this one just to be amazing. It's just really full of, like, it's organized. That's one. I'm glad for that. second thing is I found so many people. I've seen so many active people. Just make me – and plus, I love the game of football. And I figure, hey, this looks good. So clearly they're doing something right. And I enjoyed every second of it, even if I'm not as active as I would like it – as I would like to be. And speaking of – the activity just blew me away because of how active it is. I mean, obviously I'm not a tech genius. I wish I could like look at the stats of how many people look at the server, even though the only stat I can go off of is like when you look at a blog, and if you go all the way down, it will tell you who has looked in that blog. And that's what I go off of. Or you can also look at the homepage and you scroll down where it says online, there's always like around 50 to even like 100 people in that ISFL website. So that to me shows that people actually fucking care, and it's just a great league all around. Like I love every second of it.
I'm glad to hear you're liking it here. What was the player creation process like?
Oh, it was something. It's not due to the system. The system was easy. It was just really picking what position I want. That was probably the hardest thing I had to go through. Everything else was easy, like the name, the putting the number, although I hate the fact that the archetype, you can't make your fucking player 6'4". Damn it, ISFL. You ruined my dreams, man. I wanted to create the tallest corner. God damn it.
You didn't have any issues with any of the actual creation pages?
No, absolutely not. It was easy. It was easy as cake, man. It was easy.
Was there anything you would suggest to improve that process, or you think it's pretty good the way it is?
I think it's pretty good the way it is. I don't have any complaints to it. Maybe I guess the only tick I can give is that when you're trying to create it, the system is like down, but that you can't control that. That's just gonna happen. But there is no criticism that really needs. That really needs to change. So I don't have any criticism for it.
So let's talk Xavier Hawkins. Let's talk your actual player.
Okay.
So you're currently first in the league with passes defended, and you are tied right now with the first and forced fumbles. Did you expect to perform like you have this season?
Yes, absolutely. And I know that sounds like, oh, Xavier, you're such a fucking cocky head. Man, shut up. Anyways. The way I look at things is that, yes, I do look at my player as if I'm playing it in real life. Before anyone says in the comment, Xavier, it's just a simulation game. Why are you such a tryhard? Like, man, shut up. The reason, it's just, when it comes to leagues like these, I want to have fun. Of course, that's probably that's the biggest thing. But I also, come on, like, don't, you can't lie to me, Lucid, that no, deep down inside, you're like, yeah, I want to be the first. You can't fucking tell me that no one wants that. If you say no, you're lying to me, and you're lying to yourself. And as for expectations, I told myself that I'm going to find a way to be in the first of something. And I expected that. The only thing I hated is that this is not even my best form. If it wasn't for my activity, who knows what my stats would look like. I do believe in myself. That's the one thing that you need to know about me, is that I actually believe in things when I put my mind to it.
I mean, I don't think there's any reason to even worry about other people's opinions on that either. Like,
I know, but
there's a lot of people that come into this and they, you know, like, I've had a couple people on that came in and just completely stayed in their character role. Like, they had a role that they set for how their character or their player was supposed to be, and they stayed in that role the entire interview.
I mean
it was interesting to see, but it's not something, you know, there's a lot of people that do that, so that's not really something to take into account there. But
I know, but I just like to mimic the crowd, you know. There's always gotta be a person. Oh, yeah,
there'll always be one person gotta say something.
Yep.
Somebody's always got something to say on that. I know you had mentioned wanting to be first at something. Are you interested in pursuing, like, individual awards?
Quite frankly, I mean, whatever happens, happens. If I'm in the running for it, that's great. In particular, maybe not. I'm more of a, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Even if I get cut off for reasons, but the only award that I want is just the DSFL championship. That's all I want. And then whenever I do leave DSFL, the next award I want is the ISFL award. I'd rather have rings. If I get individual awards, then that's great. But I'm not here for that. I'm here to improve a team. I'm here to be the MVP, not the MVP award that the DSFL, ISFL have. No, I want to be an actual MVP, which means that if you were to take me off the team would do worse without me. And if I'm on the team would do better without me. I want to be the difference maker that every team needs. That's what I care about.
I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. That's the exact same way that I look at it. You know, that's the way I've tried to base everything with my player, is I want to be that difference maker on the field. And yeah, if because, I get some individual awards, great, but those individual awards come with the team success. And that's, you know, that's what I want. I'm like you. I want to rack up the rings.
Yeah, exactly. Besides, and when you look at the MVP awards, it's always voter fatigue. It's always a voter fatigue. Like, why fatigue of someone? That's why I never care about single awards. That's why I never care about them, because there's voter fatigue. And it's like, you're trying so hard for what? To please a bunch of analysts and fans who once they give you the award, they just already tire of you, like some hookup? Like, no, I don't want to go through with that. So if I ever get it, great. If I don't, that's fine by me. I got some rings to count to fill my fingers.
Absolutely. So now, speaking of team success, you were drafted by London in the S29 DSFL draft. What were your thoughts draft night when the Royals selected you?
Oh, this is where the shameless plug comes in. I'm sorry, Lucy. This is where it comes in. If you guys go to my profile, there is a series that I'm doing. It's a Netflix series that I'm doing. It's called Stepping to the Unknown, Xavier Hawkins Story. In episode 2 in my series, I tell basically the whole audience my reaction to the draft, but in character. So I'm going to give you a summary from both sides, from me as a person and me as Xavier. So me as a person it was the coolest thing in the world. It really is. Being drafted by the Royals, I don't care about where I go. I never cared where I go. I'm not like other people who are picky on, oh, I need to go on this team to succeed. I really don't care which team I go to. I'm going to succeed whenever I go. Now, Xavier as a character is a little similar to me as a person. Xavier doesn't care what team he goes. He's just trying to go to a team, period. And what Xavier does is that he's kind of just watching the draft as if he's like a fan, but instead in a business aspect, because Xavier knows that the SFL and ISFL is a business, point blank, period, despite what everyone else is thinking. So if you look at the series, you'll see my full thoughts. So to give you a summary, he enjoyed it. He had some funny moments with Bradley, whose user is Dolphin. So Bradley Welsh. You'll see the whole reaction in my series.
Now you're bringing up your Netflix series. You created this Netflix series as a media piece to kind of bring your some cash flow and I guess introduce people to Xavier Hawkins throughout the league. What inspired you to make a Netflix series?
What inspired me is just simply looking how people do their media. Like, obviously, the career mode concept is obviously not new, duh. Like, it's probably been done before, but when I looked at the media, all I saw was all analyzing DSFL prediction. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just find that boring. It's just, it doesn't, like, I want to know who you are, and as so that's what gave me the inspiration. I'm going to create a series where you get to see Xavier interacting the world of ISFL and DSFL. And so far, I have brought in Bradley. I also plan on bringing in some of my other teammates from Royals. And if it keeps going, I'm going to bring in guys from the ISFL team whenever I get drafted, or just people in general. All they have to do is just DM me in Discord. If you want to be in it, you can always DM me. My DMs are wide open for a reason. Well, they're wide open for multiple reasons, but it's one of them.
So do you have anything special planned that you want to tease for the rest of the season?
Actually, I do have an announcement, actually. Now, there's only 2 episodes, so you can pretty much binge watch or technically binge read my series. But I do have an announcement. Due to my activity being spotty, because what was going to happen is that I was going to analyze every single game in DSFL season. But obviously, I haven't gotten to that because life is, well, a bitch. So what I am planning to do is that I might just at the end of the DSFL season or whenever that comes by, I will just do a whole season wrap up just to basically talk about the whole season instead of just talking about every game, which sucks because I really wanted to talk about the first game in particular. I really wanted to talk about the first game. And I also really wanted to talk about the game where I shined the most, and maybe even talk about the game where I did terrible. I really wanted to do all that. But after this DSFL season, which I know we're going to make the playoffs, I really think we will. Maybe after the playoffs, whenever we do get eliminated, basically, you will see episode 3 be about the whole season. So that's my announcement to make.
Now, they say, you know, imitation is one of the greatest forms of flattery. Your series has sparked a birth of a second Netflix series.
Yes.
Did you know he was going to do that?
Yes, he DM'd me personally because he asked me what he should do. And I told him, well, you could always do what everyone else is doing, or you can take inspiration from me. Obviously, I'm very good friends with Bradley. I'm very good friends with Dolphin. We're both Dolphins fans. Fun fact, now you know, we're both Dolphins fans, and he just wanted to see if he can make a better series than me. He really thinks he can make he thinks the remix will be better than original. Well, I hope he knows what's coming, because I also have another announcement to make. The series will now be, I'm still debating. And you guys can vote if you want to. You guys can always DM me about it. I might make my series a podcast. I might make a podcast storytelling. I might make a storytelling podcast. So, yeah, I'm creating a podcast, folks. So if you want to hear more of my voice, which I know it can be annoying at times, but if you want to hear it, there you go. I'm going to create a podcast maybe later today or tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah. I know So I know you recently had told me that you were thinking about starting that podcast. You mentioned it being a little bit of a storytelling podcast. Well, what's all that going to be about? Just kind of the same thing as your Netflix series?
Most likely. It's probably just going to be a narration version of my series. It's just, I figure why... I know for a fact that my Netflix series is unique enough where it can stand on its own, where when people talk about Netflix series, they're going to talk about me. So when I enter to the podcast world, I don't want to go into it without uniqueness. So I figure, let me bring uniqueness to the podcast community and just create a storytelling podcast where you'll actually hear Xavier's voice, which is basically my voice, duh. Now, as for other people joining in, obviously, I'm going to always ask permission. Can I use people's voices? Because I think it's more authentic to hear another person. I don't like to give other characters my voice because I just think it's a discredit. But if they don't want to, then that's fine. I'm not going to force you to do something that you don't want to do. I just think it would be it'd be cooler to give a character a voice, just like I'm giving my character a voice. So it will likely, now as for how long it will be, probably not long. It'd probably be like, I don't know, if I had to guess, maybe like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, depending on how long or how fast I talk. So I don't know, Lucy. Everything's a mystery, basically.
Yeah, with that, as being a part of the grading team, I would suggest at least hitting that 15 minute mark if you can for all your episodes.
Okay.
That 15 minute mark guarantees you a million right off the bat.
Wow. So you mean to tell me I can just BS my way through for 15 minutes and just get $1 million?
Yeah, you need to stay kind of on subject as long as you're on subject and talking about, you're talking about telling, storytelling through Xavier Hawkins' story or discussing something league related. You can't just get on and just talk random stuff, but as long as you're sticking to your player or sticking to something league related, yeah, you get on, talk for 15 minutes and it's a mil. They max out in an hour. You can go for up to 4 million per week doing a podcast.
Who the hell, no offense, Lucy, but who the fucking hell is gonna talk for an hour?
I try to do it every week.
I mean, okay, that's because your podcast requires an hour because you have people, but If you're by yourself, who the fuck is going to talk for an hour? Better yet, who the hell is going to listen for an hour unless you have a really good voice?
Yeah, it was a little tough. I did a full hour solo for the Ultimus week last season.
Rip. Hey, at least you had something.
And that was a little tough, but I wanted to do it for the double media that they've done during the Ultimus week. So
I like how you're just honest about it. You're just like, yeah, I just did it for the double media. What are you gonna do?
I put it in the episode description. I was like, this is a special Q&A episode just for the double media. Like, there's no guests. It's just me, and you're gonna hear me talk for a full hour because I want to make $8 million.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you, Lucid. The fuck is shit. I don't blame you. Although that's what sucks, because literally the podcast media gets no bonuses. It doesn't get any bonus. Like, you guys are like, you literally, Lucid, no offense, you literally have probably one of the best podcasts because you actually have a voice that actually sounds interesting. And yet you do all these transitions, you do all these cuts, and then someone, no offense to other people, but someone else can literally do unfiltered, unedited, and still get the million, just as much as you will get a million. While the writing side just gets bonuses for days. Hey, you want a bonus? Here's a bonus. Hey, you want one? Here. Hey, you want one? Here. It's like, what's the point then?
I know since I've been in the league, I've been getting heavily involved in the podcast, now getting a part of the grading team. That's certain things that I'm trying to, improve a little bit on that side. I know they're a little hesitant to try to give extra cash because they don't want a bunch of episodes being released. But I think if you were to keep the same limit of doing an hour a week and then just giving out bonuses to people that actually take the time to make a good product for the league, I think that would go a long way.
Yeah, it would go a long way because besides, it can't be that hard to grade it. You're just grading someone's content. It's probably less trouble than versus writing, where you have to focus on grammar, you gotta focus on like the subject and everything.
Yeah, mostly on the grading side for podcasts, it's just really time consuming. because you do have to listen to every episode that gets released.
Ah, damn.
So you're listening through everything, making sure people stay on track, not just... I don't know if they've had an issue with it in the past where maybe people have started like 10, 15 minutes and then gone on to some bogus stuff for 40 minutes and then jump back in at the end to try to, you know, trick people into thinking they had a full hour. But you got to listen to the full podcast and make sure people stay on track. But
yeah,
outside of that, it's, like I said, just time consuming.
Yeah, well, I imagine it's time consuming for crying out loud. We're literally talking for the past 28 minutes, so... Well, depending on how long this interview ends. So,
yeah, I did. I listened to them all day at work. Really, like in my real life, I just sit in my office, I crank on the podcast, and just listen to them. So I'll have a list of stuff that I've graded throughout the day.
As it comes, I wish I could do that, but with my job in particular, I do love what I do, but my job kind of demands more of a little guidance, a little more. Like urgent. So fortunately, as much as I would like to grade these, I would love to grade these because I never have anything to do, but like my job is time consuming. So rip me.
Yeah, I'm lucky I'm in a position where I can turn on music or podcasts, whether it be league related or other, and you know, just kind of go about my day that way. So I got almost 8 hours of just time to listen while I'm working.
Nice.
So I know we talked a little bit about the London Royals. We had a rough preseason and kind of went on a run, but now the Royals are on a 3-game losing streak. We're sitting at 5-5. You think we're going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, we are going to make the playoffs. The preseason, no one ever, who cares about the fucking preseason? No one cares about the preseason. I was never worried about it. As for the regular season, yes, we are 5-5. Yes, we are on a 3-game losing streak, but we are going to make the playoffs. We have too much talent to not make the playoffs. You have myself. You have you. We have Parm. We have Dolphin. We have a really good squad. Like, we really do. I think we're going to make the playoffs.
So, who's winning the Alt-A-Mini then?
I don't do that. I really don't listen. Like,
you're gonna make a prediction?
No, I don't do predictions. I think predictions to me are useless in my eyes because I never pay attention to anything else but my player and my team. So I think it's a little unfair for me to make a prediction when I haven't even done my due diligence to look at every other team. So that's why I chose not to do predictions, because it's just simply not fair. Because if I did predictions, I would just pick my team every time. And it's like, what's the point?
Well, we're going to go with that. You heard it here first. Xavier Hawkins picking the Royals. We're going all the way again.
Damn,
you cut off. You cut off
again. I was saying you heard it here first.
Oh, yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
We're going all the way
again. Yeah, I guess we are. But in all seriousness, like, that's why I don't do predictions, because I haven't taken the time to look at other teams. So
now's where I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit more.
Wow.
I know you mentioned earlier you didn't have a preference in any of the teams that draft you. Do you have any favorite teams yet for the ISFL?
No. No, not at all. No, literally nothing.
What are you looking for from your future ISFL team?
Just a team that actually gives a shit about players, actually wants to create a fun environment. I want a team that's like down to win, not down to tank when they're very... There's a difference between tanking and the difference of just playing. They just plain suck. And I don't want to be in a team where they'll take out the best players and put in computer players just so they can get a better draft pick. So they can either get their friend or a player that they know that's gonna go number one overall. I don't want that. I absolutely don't. If we make it. If we don't, we don't. That's fine. All we can do is just improve our player, and that's it. That's all we have. So whoever drafts me, I'm going to be 100% with them, just as long as they're 100% with me.
So you don't necessarily care to go just to a winning franchise, but you want to go to, if it's a team that's losing, you want to lose because everybody went out there and had their player play as good as they could at the moment and just didn't quite have enough to win, not somebody that's trying to plan a loss.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't. I mean, listen, I am a great guy. I am not a guy that you have to worry about, but believe me, you will hear from me if I see something. I'm not scared of any GMs whatsoever. I'm not scared of my GM at Royals. I respect the hell out of them, but I'm not scared of them, just like I'm not scared of these other GMs in ISFL. I know what I'm saying might cost me, might make me look like I'm just some drama queen, but I'm being serious. Like, I'm not scared of any GM. If I see something that I don't like, I'm going to first go to the GM like, hey, you should look at this. And if they don't care, then the best thing I'm going to do is either deal with it or move on to another team and get traded, because I'm not going to deal with incompetence. I don't deal with that.
I think a lot of GMs will respect that. I know the way you say it comes off a little rough, but I think the subject matter of what you're actually putting out there, I think a lot of GMs will respect that. I don't think anybody really wants a yes man on their team, or if they do, then, you know, I haven't seen too much of that.
I haven't seen it either. Everyone's just doing their own thing, which I like.
A lot of the GMs seem to really appreciate when somebody's, you know, got something to say or has an issue, that they, you know, handle it that way instead of being dramatic about it or making a scene. Like, sounds like you're talking about coming to them with a problem, you know?
Yeah. Again, I highly doubt there's going to be problems whenever I do get to the ISFL. I highly doubt it. Like, it has to be a fucking generational blue moon that it would happen. Because, come on, Lucy, think about it. Do you really think there's going to be problems in a goddamn simulation league?
No, I mean, it seems like most teams have a pretty good way of handling stuff. A lot of GMs, you know, definitely aren't incompetent at the ISFL or even the DSFL level. I haven't seen a lot of that around here. Every GM that I've dealt with seems to legitimately care about their team. Yeah. They want to keep their players happy. They want to succeed.
They also want to keep the players, period, so they don't lose them.
Half the DSFL GMs, I mean, those guys seem to – the ones that I've dealt with seem to care more about actually having good player turnover and player production than they do winning. Like, not saying they don't care to win the, you know, the ultimate or win the DSFL championship, but a lot of these guys, their main goal is to get users like you and like me who came in last season and turn them into, you know, future ISFL, you know, big time players, somebody that's going to stick around for multiple seasons. You know, they're when you create as a rookie in the DSFL, the first people you deal with are your, you know, your rookie mentors on your team or your DSFL GMs, and they definitely kind of sculpt whether you're going to stay in the league or, you know, whether you have fun. Because you go to a bad team or a team that doesn't have an active GM who cares, you could very easily hate the league within the first week or two.
Yeah, pretty much. But again, the DSFL GMs probably have a more important job than ISFL. I mean, I'm not going to discredit them, but first impressions matter. They do. I think you can agree with me on that. First impressions matter. So if you're a DSFL GM, your job is to basically make a good impression and convince a user that, yeah, I'll stay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, go.
What are you bringing to the table next season? Why should an ISFL team draft you as both your player and your user?
Well, I mean, I didn't – okay, so fun fact, I didn't know that DSFL was a minor league. I thought it was like a college. I probably should have known that, but hey, you live and you learn. So when I told this to – oh, my God, what's the person's name? I'm looking for a person in particular. Schwarznar, like the moose.
Oh, Schwarznar?
Schwarznar. A really cool person of mine. I think I was with him in DSFL for the Prospect Bowl with the Iowa Night March. God, I suck at pronunciation. Anyways, what I told Nars is the same thing I'm going to say right now. I don't care who drafts me. I don't care when I get drafted. I would like to go to the first round because I am a first round talent. Hell, I think I'm the best corner in the entire DSFL. I do believe that. But point being, I don't care where I go. I don't care when I go. But when I do go, expect a guy like me to care about the team. I am a guy that's gonna be there for you 100% just as I hope you'll be there for me, because the Royals have been there for me. Like, for example, I don't want to expose our locker room, but I was having like a little bit of doubt. It was like a doubt because I look at my performance. Yeah, they're great, but I feel like I could do so much better, and I'm kind of like hating myself for that. So I decided, okay, if I have this feeling, let me go to my locker room. Let me see what they say. They literally like bombarded me with stats left and right. Like I'm getting like pie throwing with stats. Like, Savior, you're first in pass deflections. Savior, you're literally third in fumble recoveries. You got picks. You're locking down the best receivers. Like, not like it was aggressive, but like it made me feel better. It made me realize, okay, maybe my performance isn't going in vain like I thought it was. And that's what I care. I want to be in an environment where if I'm feeling doubtful, I want my teammates to be like, no, Savior, you're fucking wrong. Look at what you have done versus what you think you've done. You've done a lot for our team. And just imagine what you can do once you do get your shit together. Because I plan on being more active. And I know I can be so much better than what I am right now. So if any ISFL GMs need to know about me, say, I'm here for you. My question for you is, are you here for me?
Yeah, you know, I think the locker room culture is something that a lot of teams focus on in their draft picks. Having an active user is good, but when you start looking at it, there's a lot of active users. And some people are okay with position switching, some people aren't. But what it comes down to is, you know, does that user fit with your locker room culture? And that's, you know, that seems to be the focus with a lot of teams trying to come in. Cause you don't want, again, you don't want somebody to come in that's going to kind of mess up the culture that you have going, or maybe won't fit in, because then that user may not feel, you know, feel at home in that locker room. And then that locker room might start feeling weird. So now I know you had brought up not knowing that the DSFL is kind of like the minor league. The DSFL is what they call the developmental league. It's basically to close the gap between new users and users that have been playing forever. You have somebody that's starting to near their regression or the end of their player's lifespan. You know, they're up towards 1,000 TPE. So you have a new create coming in at 100 TPE or 150 TPE after their first season. Not really good to compete that way. 800, 900 TPE difference between the players.
Yep.
So, now, are you wanting to get called up immediately, or do you want to stay down for a second season?
I'm actually chose to stay down because I owe the Royals something. I owe them my best. I don't want to give them – I mean, yes, it's my rookie. Yes, it's my first season. Yeah, I get it. But I know I wanted to come in this first season blazing. I want to come in – like gaining awards in like my first season, and I guess that doubtfulness came from that expectations. So I owe them. I do want to stay down because I want to make myself more valuable. And plus, I don't know how many corners are gonna be called up this season alone. So I figure, and plus, I actually want to be captain in for the Royals. I want to be the defensive captain. And which Lucid, you deserve it, but I also feel like next season it's gonna be me. I know it's gonna be me because I'm gonna stay down there. So
next season, if everything goes well, you won't have me to compete with. So
yeah, I have to literally compete with you, Lucid. So thanks, man.
Hey, you're doing pretty good. You're right up there with Game Balls. I think by the time we get these next ones posted up, you'll probably pass me. You had a pretty good performance in the last couple sims, so I think you'll pass me with the game balls, or the crowns, as we call them in London.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what – and plus, I'm still debating whether I want to stay down for three seasons because it's how much I enjoyed it. But I also want to think – like I told you, this is a business, essentially. Yes, I know it's a sim league, people. I know. But it's a business, as in – yeah, you can have. Yeah, you may love your teammates and your developmental, but you got to think about your ISFL career and how much better it will be than your DSFL. So I know for a fact that I am staying down for this season. I know I'm staying down for this season. I might do two or three seasons. I don't know. But I am, but to answer your question, yeah, I'm staying down for this season because I owe them, I owe Royal something. And I'm going to give them my best version of myself. And I'm going to be leaving as the best version of myself.
And I don't know how much you've been starting to get scouted by any ISFL teams yet, but that'll be something that a lot of them will ask you as well.
Yeah.
Whether you're wanting to stay down or get called up immediately. Because some teams have instant needs where they need you immediately this next season. Other teams, you know, want to wait and they don't have that quite room there yet, but they know you're the player that they want to add to their team. So they look at you like, hey, we want you here and we need you to stay down a season. And so, you know, it all depends on the situation. But if you're, like you said, if you're open with them and upfront about wanting to stay down, you know, if a team needs you right away, they'll, you know, they won't draft you. It'll be a team who gets that you want to stay down and a team that's like, awesome, we want you and we want you to stay down. So this works out perfect.
Yeah, like I is like you mentioned, like I don't, they can work with me. If you need me that badly, I will think about it. If you don't need me that badly, I can just enjoy my time with the Royals. Like I say, I'm workable. I just want the GMs to actually talk to me like a person, like a partnership. Like, hey, Xavier, I want to talk to you about your decision. Can you please start right away? I have my reasons. Let me explain my reasons. And then can you at least think about it? And I do. I do want to start. In the back of my mind, I do want to start immediately. I do want to start in ISFL. But like I said, these GMs can work with me. Whoever drafts me, I hope they can work with me. If not, then it is what it is. I'm going to make my own decision because I have a saying goes, if nothing gets done, get it done yourself.
Yeah. You'll see the GMs when they start talking to you, they're pretty open. They want, like I said, they know that your situation will fit with some team. So even if it's not their team, they know like, awesome. Like, you know, I had a couple people tell me like after interviewing, like when I was getting ready to be drafted for the ISFL that, you know, they're like, wow, you know, we enjoy talking to you, but we're going to be honest. You're either not going to be there when we draft or, you know, we need somebody who's wanting to come up immediately. And I wasn't really wanting to come up right away. I told them I was willing to if they needed it, but they're just open. Like, yeah, you know, we enjoyed the conversation, but we're going to be honest. You're probably not going to be on the board when we get there or, you know, you're not going to fit kind of with what the plan we're looking for the next season is. I was like, cool. You know, thanks for your time.
Yeah, I mean, although speaking of Lucid, I'm sure you're going to get drafted in the first round. I already know that.
Oh, yeah, I did. I got drafted. I was in the draft this last season, so I got. Oh. I've already been drafted to an ISFL team.
Oh, damn. Oh,
right, okay. Right before you. I did. I went. I was the fourth overall pick in the draft.
How nice.
It was a nice one. I wasn't expecting it. I went to one of the teams that I actually preferred to go to as well, so it was great. I'm a member of the Philadelphia Liberty as well, so.
Ah, fourth overall pick, and yeah, you're in the DSFL. Boy, go up there! No, I'm joking.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I wanted to stay down an extra season, so. It works out perfectly to where their need for another defensive end kind of doesn't kick in until next season, so.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Kind of a perfect match there, along with being a team that I wanted to go to, and then a team that seemed to have a lot of interest in me, so. Pretty happy where I landed.
Yep. So any other questions you got? I know you got some hard hitting and so far they're not hard hitting.
You've kind of skated through some of the ones that were meant to be hard hitting.
Well, to be fair, you're talking to a guy that answers all the questions.
What's next for you as a user? Are you interested in getting a league job or is there some kind of a role you'd like to reach?
Actually, yes. I hope I get a lead job because I know I applied for a new job, which was events or who was it? I know I DM'd someone about it. I'm trying to find it. Anyways, no, whatever. Anyways, maybe I'll find it once I have the time to look for it. There was a new job. I don't know if you heard of it, Lucy. It was like have to do with planning for events or like creating ideas, and I wanted to be part of that event. I wanted to judge a writing contest, and I wanted to judge that. I wanted to be that's what I wanted to do. It was like a new job that they promoted.
It was for the media side of things. It was their new something that some of the other users had been pushing for, which I can't support more. Like we discussed with the podcast and media side, you know, there's no awards for the media. Like there's awards for everything in this league, but there's no awards for the media, for the podcast, for the graphics, for any of your written stuff. And that's something that they're introducing. So I think the position that you're talking about is that media, like the media awards committee or the media awards events, and its ways. It was basically the position, from what I understand, is to kind of help put together a new side of things where people get awards for, you know, what they put out. I talked to a few people about what that was going to entail. I'm curious to see. I haven't heard much about it since they put that post up, so I'm kind of curious to see how that progresses.
Yeah, I actually Oh, finally, I found the person. Sorry. I had to get excited over it. I found the person. Yes. All right. Sorry about that. All right. Anyways, keep going.
Was that a... So is there any other jobs that interest you around the league?
I it's whatever's available. It's whatever. I do want a job in the league, but at the same time, I have to be honest with myself. Will I have time for it? And the answer is probably going to be no. I do want a job that isn't time consuming, that I know that I could just do it whenever I have the chance to. So I don't want to hold, I don't want to create promises that I can't keep.
That's definitely understandable. So was there anything that you wanted to discuss or any questions that you had for me?
Actually, yes. What led you to create a podcast in the first place? Would you say you're the first of in the podcast series or?
No, there was quite a bit of podcasts when I got here. This is only my second season in the league. So this is not new for me. I just think I came in and took it a little more as a full-time gig than most people. A lot of the podcasts that I see around seem to be just kind of random releases whenever somebody feels like sitting down for a minute. I tried to make this my main source of income. I was doing a podcast for a real sports league with some people that I'd met for I don't know if you ever heard of fan-controlled football.
No.
I was doing a podcast for the fan-controlled football league, and when I started playing in the sim leagues, it just seemed like when I seen I could do it, it seemed like a good way to make money and continue doing something that I had started to enjoy. So keeping it going with that, like I said, just trying to get something a little bit different. I know everybody that, at least the podcasts that I had seen that were out when I got here, were like you had said, everybody just kind of talked about like statistical analysis or just 15, 20 minute rants about what they didn't like or what they liked, or, you know, a love note to their team or, you know, whatever. I wanted to come in and do something a little bit different. So I don't know how I didn't go that far back to see, you know, what had been done previous, but I did dig pretty far through the old graded podcast and didn't see much for full blown like interview pods or things like what I've tried to create. So I just thought it'd be interesting to get different people together from the different teams who've played for, whether it be a season or like I had somebody who's been on since the creation of the league. He's played in every season that the ISFL has ever had. It was nice to get those different experiences and get to see how people have found the league, what they like to do, just everybody's outlook on it's different. So to get everybody together and just kind of get these interviews going, I thought was a really cool thing to add to the podcast community.
Okay. And do you know the lore of the London Royals? If you had to say, who is the best London Royal? I know you probably haven't been with London Royal for that long, but who would you say the best player so far in the London Royals for this season? And I'm also going to ask you of all time.
For this season? This season, it's hard to pick. There's some pretty good performances going on. On the defensive side of the ball, you have both you and I think, are in line for some end-of-season awards if we continue on our current trajectory that we have going. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you've got somebody like Parm that's stepped in, and he's had some sketchy games, performance,
sketchy moments.
But he's for what he brings to the locker room, the activity that he's had.
Yes,
the dot performance will come. He's got that. You can see right now that he's the type of player who's going to last. At least so far, that's how he's seemed to me. And he cares about the on-field performance, so he's getting ready to cap out with this next update, I believe. He's getting his build together. He's continuing to make or to earn TPE, so that's somebody to watch out for. And then we've talked about it multiple times. You have to keep an eye on Dolphins.
Yes, you do.
Whether you love him or whether you love him or hate him, he is a player who is there and he seems active, and I don't think that's going to change. He seems like he's loving the league and he wants to succeed. And when you have somebody who loves the league and wants to succeed, I think it's hard to kind of look anywhere else at that point.
Yeah, of course. And plus, that's my boy, man. That's my boy Dolphin, man. I believe in you, bro.
As far as all time goes, there are some awesome Royals that have been around. I mean, just names that are currently performing well in the ISFL just more recently. But when you start looking at it, you've got guys like our quarterback that came up last year, Red Arrow Jr. I think he'll go down as somebody who was pretty memorable for the Royals. But when you start looking a little back, you got like running back Teriyaki holds the record for the all-time most crowns ever as a London Royal with 12 during his time with the team. Current ISFL quarterback Colby Jack, not far behind him. Is a little far behind him at 7, but sitting third place for the Royals. There's been a lot of players just that I've had the privilege of witnessing or even talking to since I've been around. And I'm sure that there's players on here from some of the first teams that I haven't even, met or heard about. That goes as far as like dot users, but then when you start looking at like in locker room members, and you got to give a shout out to Deadly, who's without Deadly there would be no London Royals. There's a few of those guys that have been around. I know Modern Duke was huge in the creation. Those are some guys that have been around since the beginning. So I believe it was Deadly that actually filed for the expansion for the London Royals. So I don't know if you've seen Deadly around our locker room, but he's one of the guys, like I said, I believe he's the person who actually filed the expansion for the Royals to get set up. So he definitely goes down in the lore of, I guess, on the locker room side of things.
All right. No, would it really be a cool thing for the league to do? You know how like the NFL has like the decade team or like an all-time team? It'd be really cool if the ISFL could like do like a season team, like just bringing like all the
They actually just did that this last offseason.
God damn it!
Might have been right before you joined, but they just had a. I don't remember exactly what draft class it was. Let me see if I can pull it up really fast. They just had one where they brought back all the members from certain classes.
Good. Oh, okay.
Wildfire Micro, I think, is one of the players in it, so he might be able to. I think that was season 20. I can't tell you. It said 27, I think, or 26. Can't remember what season his player came in. I can't find it on the league on the forums page right now. But yeah, if you look at it, that they did that this last season. So I'm not sure if that was new to this last off season or if that was something that has been going on for a while, but I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that come around again. I'm hoping they continue.
Yeah, I hope they do bring it, because who knows, I might be part of it or might not. Who knows?
So before we get wrapped up, my first season of podcasts, I was asking everybody about video games. For this season, I've decided to change it around. I want to make these wrap-up questions a little different per season. So this season, I put it as kind of asking some sports questions.
Yes.
So this is just a little bit to kind of get to know you as a person, just kind of see where you come from. But what's your favorite sport of all time?
Oh, man, that might be the only hard question that you've ever said in this entire podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So 3 sports come to mind. Baseball. I'm actually born in Puerto Rico. All we ever do is baseball. Like, we live and breathe baseball. And I used to be in a competitive baseball team when I was a kid. And then I moved to the United States. I still played baseball for a little bit, but then what leads to the next transition, which is basketball. I tried out for my basketball high school team. Didn't make it. God damn it. But it's fine. It's fine. I love basketball. And then the next sport is actually a sport that I haven't even played at all. I play like a version of it, which is American football. Yes, yes, people. I do call football for soccer because that's how you pronounce it, people. Anyways, American football is the only sport that I have not played. I play like street football, sort of, and then I play flag football. That's like the closest thing I got. But American football for the NFL it just looks cool as hell. It just does. So, if I had to pick an all time, man. I can't give you that. It's hard. I can't give you an answer. I don't have one.
So we're looking at baseball and football are the two that you would say, at least, that you're trying to decide between?
It's actually three. Baseball, American football, and basketball. It's those three. I can't rip apart one of them.
So I know you mentioned earlier in the podcast that you're a Dolphins fan for the NFL, but what are your favorite teams?
So for NFL, like I mentioned, the Dolphins. I also have teams that I respect, not a fan of. Like I respect the Browns. I respect the Ravens. I respect the Falcons just because of like Julio Jones and those damn good jerseys. Those jerseys are good. I also respect the LA Chargers because of their jerseys. Oh man, they look so good. But no, that's not the only reason, because they have good players. There's like probably another team that I respect that I forgot. So transitioning to the NBA, I'm a Miami Heat fan. But I also respect the Atlanta Hawks for Trae Young, the 76ers for Embiid because of how funny he is, but also a good player. Another team that I really like is the LA because it's LA, duh. Come on. OKC is another one that I like because of the way they handle their team, especially the 100 first round picks that they have for the next 5-6 years. That's crazy. It's probably the Memphis Grizzlies because of Ja Morant, the point god himself. Thing that might be it. For MLB, I don't have a favorite team for MLB. I really don't. I guess you could say I'm a Miami Marlins, Tampa Bay fan, but not really. I wouldn't call myself that. I'm just a huge MLB fan, sort of.
That's an interesting way to follow that up. I'm a huge MLB fan,
sort of. I know.
Sometimes,
I know.
Sometimes I'm a huge fan. Other times, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm like 50-50, you know?
No, I'm not a big MLB fan anymore, but when I was actually a Miami Marlins fan. So, well, before they were considered the Miami Marlins, but I'll be appropriate call them.
Oh, wait. Damn, what were they? I remember it. I think they were. It was like Miami something. Or I don't think it was Miami.
No, it just wasn't Miami. They weren't called the Miami Marlins.
No, they were called something else. Or maybe they were just new. Nah, okay, yeah, you can tell me, Lucy. I actually don't remember. But I know they were not called Miami Marlins. I know that.
They were just called the Florida Marlins.
That was the one. Yeah, I knew it. It was like something like Florida Marlins.
Yeah, it was the Florida Marlins, but then I guess it was – I don't know if it was because they played in Miami or – I wasn't a fan of the team when the name change happened. I seen all the new branding go up. So I don't know if that was just because they're, you know – not the only team in Florida, so maybe they decided to change their name, or if it's just because they wanted to give a little more love to the city that they play in. But
probably that. I think it's probably because of the fact that they realized that maybe we're not the only Florida team.
Maybe we shouldn't claim the entire state.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't claim it, but hey, who knows? You know, just because, you know.
So who are your some of your – I know you mentioned some of them when you were talking about your favorite sports teams, but who would your favorite player be? It doesn't have to be any particular sport, but your favorite player of all time.
Dan Marino, Xavier Howard, Tua Tagovailoa, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Kobe, KD, James I would say James Harden, Trae Young, John Morant. God, there's just so – Luka Doncic. There's just so many great players. Aaron Judge, Mike Trout. There's just so many good players everywhere.
So just your all-time greatest sports moment or memory that you have, what do you think's just the best sports moment that you've gotten to witness?
I'm going to list a few. So the first time I watched the NFL, it was a Miami Dolphins game actually versus the Patriots. And it was like a competitive game. I remember Miami winning by a field goal that was like super long. I think it was like 45 yards, I think. Favorite moment. It was definitely that 3-1 comeback by the Cavs. That one was cool. And then there's the moment where it was Kobe and LeBron with like Drake in like the background. I saw that live. That was cool. And another one. I don't have any MLB moments, sadly. I think I might do. It was when the Red Sox actually won their World Series after like their drought, and then the Cubs one was also another one that I enjoyed. I think that's about it. I don't think I have a lot of moments that I can say I remember. Maybe I might do. I just haven't remembered it yet, but hey, it is what it is.
Well, right on, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your morning to come on and do this podcast with me.
Well, I mean, it was either this podcast or do homework, and you can tell which one I picked.
Well, looking forward to seeing what happens for the rest of the season with London and kind of seeing where you wind up with this draft. Best of luck to you in the next draft that's coming up, and we'll try to get you back on after that and see how you're feeling about your ISFL team.
Yeah, I mean, hey, an hour long. I'm the best person to bring up for your podcast. So, hey, guys, just bring your boy in. Just saying. And also, watch out for my podcast series. I know it's a shameless plug, but just watch out for it.
Right on, man. Take care.
Take care.
What better way to promote his podcast than to let him tell you why you should check it out himself. So here's Xavier telling you why to check out Stepping Into the Unknown.
Hey, my name is Xavier Hawkins. I'm the cornerback for the London Royals. I'm sure everyone knows that I have a Netflix series. I know, surprisingly. How does a new guy have a Netflix series already? Angry person typing into the comments. Well, you see, because I'm the best cornerback in the game. But in all seriousness, I have a Netflix series called Stepping Into the Unknown, Xavier Hawkins Story. It's a series about, obviously, me, but also my interaction with my teammates, outside influence, GMs, etc., etc., and also how Xavier himself handles, well, the world of DSFL and ISFL. Also, another shameless plug, I'm transitioning my Netflix series into a podcast called Step Into the Unknown. The name might change by the time I do create it, but it's still Stepping Into the Unknown by Xavier Hawkins and maybe a casual co-host that will be determined. So yeah, I hope you guys see you there.
That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. Special thanks to Xavier Hawkins for coming on. And if you enjoyed the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.